In the station.
Elevate your summer travel plans. Fly local, fly Sheridan. Bring your loved ones home to Sheridan this busy summer with reliable, comfortable travel through United Express, operated by SkyWest Airlines. Enjoy the convenience of Sheridan to Denver in no time by flying local. Book flights at united.com, the United app, or call United Reservations at 1-800-UNITED-1. Tickets also available on Travelocity, Expedia, Kayak, and more. For stress-free summer travel home, fly local, fly Sheridan.
This is the story of Jack and the Beanstalk, which Jack climbed all the way to a giant's castle. But Jack had whooping cough, which he gave to the giant. The giant coughed so hard it blew Jack right out the window. The end. Without vaccines, our stories wouldn't be the same. Thank a vaccine. Are your kids up to date? Learn more at immunizewyoming.com.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Tuesday, August 12th, and from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I am joined by Wyoming Highway Patrol Captain Eric Jorgensen and Lieutenant Louis Tegdesh. Good morning and welcome back to the show.
Morning, Floyd.
Good morning.
Oh, it's kind of over, but we're still seeing bikes all over the road. Captain, how Sturgis?
You know, I heard high number projections. It was the 85th anniversary of the Sturgis Motorcycle Rally, so they expected higher numbers. I heard that there was somewhere around 700,000 people.
Wow.
I don't know if that's truly what showed up. That was projections. So I can tell you on our side of the state line, we didn't see crazy high numbers. In fact, our big party that we do in Hewlett on Wednesday of the week of Sturgis, so last Wednesday, they actually did counters and were counting bikes coming in and out, and they had 5,500. So not near the high numbers that we have seen in the past or really kind of even expected. It was kind of quiet. Took our chaplain for the highway patrol here in this area. He rode over there with me on Wednesday, and there's a place that you can go up onto the golf course and overlook the whole town in Hewlett. And when I drove up there and we walked out on this point, I turned and looked at Kevin and I'm like, man, it's kind of quiet.
Almost kind of disappointed.
Yeah. I heard that Tuesday, so there's a big party that happens the day before on Tuesday up in Alzada. And I heard that there were a lot of bikes coming through headed to the party up in Alzada. So it kind of is looking like it's morphing on the highway or on the Wyoming side. For us, instead of having one big day in Wyoming where people come over, look at the tower, hang out, and then head back over to Sturgis, they're splitting it up. So we get some that go up to Alzada, and then they come down, check out the tower, and head back to Sturgis. And then Wednesday, they'll come over, hang out in Hewlett, go check out the tower, and head back. So it helps us, honestly, quite a bit because it's kind of diverting traffic and spreading traffic out over 2 days instead of having one really, really heavy day in the middle of the week. So it was not too terrible. I'm pretty pleased with how it went. That week was good. It was quiet. It was very uneventful. One really kind of serious crash, but everybody's stable. So nothing too outrageous. Good. So yeah, it was good, but numbers were definitely, it was a little quieter, it felt, for sure.
Kind of expected the worst.
Yeah.
Prepared for it, and got just a good, solid week of bikes.
Yeah, yep, it was pretty good, and everybody that I talked to, still, things are a great time, everybody's having fun. The folks that were tent camping over in Sturgis, in the Sturgis area, definitely dealt with a lot of afternoon thunderstorms. I heard that a few times from people. So they came away wet, and which is, honestly, if you're going to go over to Sturgis and you're going to spend the whole week you're tent camping, you're going to get wet at least one afternoon, evening while you're over there. It's just going to happen. So it's every year I watch the thunderclouds come in and I'm like, oh, that's going to, yep, that's going to hurt.
Feels bad for those folks out on the KOA lawn.
Yeah.
You know, yep. Feeling bad for them.
Yep. So every year it happens. So anybody that's thinking about it for next year, just know that you're going to get wet. If you decide to spend the whole week over there, there's going to be a day and you're going to get wet.
And from a leadership perspective, having our kind of party day split up, you said that's much better from the highway patrol point of view.
Yeah, I mean, it just splits up the crowd, so you're not dealing with masses that are trying to get into different places. When we get a lot of traffic and things are bunched up and things are really, really tight, it can create frustration with riders. We'll have people that'll try and make decisions to enter a roadway, cross a roadway, maybe when they shouldn't because they got tired of waiting for so long. Things like that, that when you now have it spread out over a larger portion, or we have a situation where a bike goes down and other bikes can't shut down because they're just stacked up. And so this kind of spreads it out a little bit more, gives law enforcement a little bit more of an opportunity as well to kind of enforce regulation. When you have a ton of bikes, as Lieutenant Tegdish knows, when there's a ton of bikes, you're trying to turn around to find that, like, oh, hey, that guy, we need to pull that guy over, and you're waiting for 2 miles of traffic to go by you before you can turn around to go catch him. You're like, it's not even worth it. So
yeah.
It gives us the opportunity as well then to be visible and be out there instead of just parked on the shoulder of the road, but we can be out there and having conversations with people.
Instead of kind of mixed in with the flock.
Yep.
You know?
Yep.
Now, speaking of which, you know, we end Sturgis, and that's kind of the big, I would assume, the big end of summer celebration for the Highway Patrol as we go into the big beginning of the school year.
Exactly. That's why I go camping this weekend. Sturgis is over. High school's getting ready, or school's getting ready to start. So this is my weekend to go camping right here.
Yep.
So
that's why I'm headed up. Now is your time to get a break in. Classes are starting next week all across Sheridan County. What specific traffic concerns should drivers be aware of when traveling near those school zones, Captain?
Yeah, just increased pedestrian traffic, right? That's the reason why we set up those school zones, is because we have a higher rate of pedestrian traffic, younger kids, inexperienced kids that are crossing roadways, and we need people to slow down, looking for that little 4 foot, 3 foot that's stepping out from the side of a car or something like that, that we need to be aware of. Mm-hmm. And with parents too right now, especially if you're new to the area, make sure that you're taking a couple walking trips from your house to school if kids are walkers. That was something I thought about just the other day. We live up by Meadowlark Elementary, and I'm like, yeah, you know, if you were new to the area, it would be a good idea as a parent. Take a couple trips with your kid. Walk with your kid up to the school if your kid's going to be walking from home to school. Mm-hmm. So that they're familiar with the path. They're familiar with where they need to go, where they need to cross at, where the crosswalk's going to be set up at, the crossing guards that are going to be set up. So be aware of that, pay attention, and look for those little kiddos as they're coming by.
Lieutenant, in your experience, what's the most common mistake you see drivers make during a back-to-school period?
Well, I think they're getting used to more kids being out and about. There's increased traffic with a lot of parents driving their kids to school, and school buses. as well as the school zones, usually the speed limits aren't operating at a lower speed limit during the summer. So all of a sudden, at a certain date when school goes back into session, you're going to see the reduced speed limits in these school zones, and people might be forgetting to slow down.
And that's something, you know, we have kind of these posted speed limits in Buffalo. We're going right through town. And I always have to remind myself, you know, hey, it doesn't matter if school's in or not. We're in a school zone. And a lot of kids use the schools like a playground. And so they're always going to be coming and going, especially in a small town like that. I did.
Yeah.
You know, the school became your playground after that. And so you got endless fields and a bunch of equipment. So there's always children running back and forth. So folks, please just do that, what is it, 20 miles an hour,
mm-hmm.
I think is the max through a school zone. Now, how does the Highway Patrol partner with the Sheridan Police Department and the Sheriff's Office to enforce these school zone speed limits?
Well, we don't necessarily, you know, communicate with them on, hey, let's set up here and do this. Obviously, we have a lot larger area to cover. It might be to and from places in town that we're going to see violations. Certainly, if they want any assistance or to team up to do something, we're available most of the time. But it for us, it's more of going back and forth to places, and we're going to, if we identify a violation, we're going to address it.
Now, when it comes to the penalties that someone could face when it comes to racing through these school zones, what are those?
Yeah, it's an enhanced penalty. It's not quite double, but it's really close to double the normal speeding violation penalty. So when you think about that, if you were doing 40 and a 30 in town, it would be X number of dollars. I can't think of it off the top of my head. But if you're now doing 30 and a 20, same speed over the posted speed limit, but you're going to see a much more enhanced penalty that's really close to double that fine. So it is important that you slow down, not just for the safety of the kids, which is paramount, but it's going to affect your pocketbook a little bit too.
Now, Captain, something you and I address every single year, multiple times a year.
Oh, yeah.
And that is passing school buses. You know, every year we seem to start off okay, and some folks tend to kind of forget what they're doing when they hit that highway later in the year. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Man, I'm thinking like we should come up with some contraption that just shoots out from underneath the school bus that's like spikes, and it just shoots out across the road when they park. So if you're crazy enough to drive past a school bus with the red lights flashing, you're going to buy four tires and get a ticket.
Exactly.
Right? Like, you'd be easy to find.
Captain,
wouldn't take as long to find.
I have actually sent letters to representatives.
Yeah.
Saying, you know what? I think we need to increase this fine. I really do. I think that fine needs to be increased because I just want people almost, you know, paranoid once you get around that school bus.
Yeah.
You see those lights flashing. I want your anxiety up here because I'd rather have your anxiety up here than have a child injured. And
yeah.
Children get injured every year, don't they?
They do. They do. All across the nation, we deal with those issues. But I would say locally here, where we see the biggest struggle with people passing school buses is where we have our five-lane roads. So if you think about in front of Sheridan College, from Sheridan College to Brundage Lane, that stretch there, it's a five-lane road, right? We have two going northbound, two going southbound with a center turn lane. When that bus is stopped, there is no barrier that prevents anybody from walking across the road, that prevents anybody from crossing the lanes of travel towards the school bus. So, because there is no barrier there, no physical barrier that separates the northbound lanes from the southbound lanes, all traffic has to stop in both directions. And I think that's the biggest misconception and the biggest struggle that people have with that regulation is, well, the bus is all the way over on, we'll say, the northbound side. So it's all the way to the far east edge of the road where it's picking up kids. I'm all the way on the far west side of the road. Why do I have to stop? Well, it's because there's no physical barrier that keeps your vehicle or prevents your vehicle from crossing. And there's nothing that says that there may be somebody that's on the other side of the road that has to cross. The school district does a fantastic job in their pickups to make sure that people are on one side of the road and so that kids aren't having to cross the road. But I remember being a little kid and I was kind of a turd. And if I saw something cool on the other side of the road while I'm waiting for the bus, I might run across the road to go do that because that was who I was as a curious little 10-year-old kid. So we have to just be aware of that. Be cognizant of that. Give yourself another minute to get to work so you can wait for the bus and then continue on about your day.
We are the responsible adults.
Yes.
We accept that responsibility the minute we accept that license and sit behind the wheel of that car. We're responsible for the lives in front of us, behind us, and with us. So, folks, please, when it comes to these buses, you need patience. You see those lights beginning to flash. That doesn't mean I better hurry up and get around that bus. That means it's time to stop.
Yes.
It is time to stop. On that, we're going to take a quick commercial break. We're going to have more with our Wyoming Highway Patrol right after this. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Volunteers of America.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
Hi, this is Colton Bates with the Bates team at Best. Right now, an increasing number of homes are hitting the market, and many of them are staying on the market longer than we're accustomed to, especially over the past 5 years. For you prospective buyers listening, this is a good thing. Many people are sitting on the sidelines holding out for the perfect situation to buy the home they've planned and waited for. Yet now is the peak of the summer selling season, and there are many motivated sellers. If you take action, you already have an advantage, especially when you work with a real estate team that shares your motivation. Call me, Colton, and work with the Bates team today at 675-BEST and visit bestwy.net.
Up where the air is thin and the pines whisper secrets, there's a place called Spiro Wigwam, 30 miles up the Red Grade, at 8,300 feet in the heart of the Bighorns, where the trail calls to those with a cowboy soul. Saddle up for half-day or all-day guided horseback rides, perfect for families, first-timers, even the seasoned cowhand. So experience the way the West was meant to be, horseback. Call Spiro Wigwam or go online at SpiroWigwam.com to come ride where the trails touch the sky.
Hey, you in the pink and blue bass boat, show me your bass.
What? You expect me to just show my bass to a stranger on the lake?
Well, I ain't no stranger. I done seen you out here fishing all the time. That makes us boat buddies.
Well, since you put it that way, here, get a load of my epic bass.
Ooh-ee, girl, that's the most picture-perfect bass I ever seen.
Did you just take a photo of my bass?
Well, yeah, I want to submit it to the Fish Your Bass Off photo contest at ChairMedia.com. I'm sure to win.
Is that the one where you can submit photos on the contest page now through Labor Day and win $300 from Connect Home Center and $300 from Century 21 BHJ Realty?
That's the one.
Then snap away, but get my good side.
Well, girl, there ain't no bad side.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm Floyd Whiting, and this morning we're speaking with the Wyoming Highway Patrol, Captain Eric Jorgensen and Lieutenant Louis Tegadesh. Now, many high school students are going to be driving themselves to school for the very first time. What advice do you have for these young drivers to stay safe during these busy mornings and these busy afternoons?
Drive fast, take chances. No, I'm kidding. And I was thinking of the go fast, don't die.
What do they
just
say?
That time,
YOLO,
right? No, I'll let Louis answer this question because I just ruined it for everybody.
LT. Well,
I think you definitely need to give yourself enough time so you're not rushing to get to school. I mean, a lot of these kids that were stopping on the way to school, they're late.
Mm-hmm.
And I've had one that was triple digits one morning a year or two ago right outside of Sheridan. That's not a call the parent wants to tell them that their child's been cited. And it, first of all, it's a hefty fine. It's a really negative mark on their license, especially for the I2C carriers. And
you got insurance people looking at that every
absolutely
day, and they're going, oh, buddy.
So, yeah, first and foremost, give yourself enough time. Don't take chances. Slow down. Be aware of your surroundings, because as these young drivers, they have very little experience. And then you throw in ice and snow on top of it, mm-hmm, and it's a recipe for disaster.
Absolutely. You know, that ice and snow gets some of the best of us every year. Some of I don't think there's such thing as an overexperienced driver.
No.
You get the right conditions, Captain, and you've seen it. I've seen it. LT, I'm sure you have. People who've been on the road for years. Some of these truck drivers going cross country,
mm-hmm,
and they hit something just right, you're in a ditch.
Well, you get to that point where you almost become complacent, right? So there's the new inexperienced driver, and then there's a guy that's been driving forever and ever and ever. And there's times where I would almost take, we'll look at my daughter for instance, who's been driving for about 2 years now. When things get really bad, she's super attentive because it spooks her a little bit. There's a little bit of respect for the weather and the road conditions, right? Been driving fast on bad roads for 20 years almost. I'm going to probably take chances at times because, yeah, I'm going to be all right, right?
Yeah.
Like that's, I got to get to that call. I got to go help these people out. And so, yeah, sometimes I'd almost take that 18-year-old kid that's been on bad roads for just a couple years, but still has a little bit of respect for it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, the good Lord will sometimes grab a hold of you though and go, Hey, dummy, I need you to slow down. And so your car shakes a little bit. You might start going a little sideways on the corner. And you're like, ooh, my bad. Yeah, you're right. I was just thinking of that
same thing. When I start feeling my butt slide behind me. Okay. Whoa.
Yep.
Let's remember being that 18-year-old kid with a little bit of respect for the weather outside.
Yep.
Now, when it comes to distracted driving, a lot of kids, you know, they might think, oh, I got to get that tweet. I got to get that Facebook post up. Bad move.
Absolutely. Put the phone away. I mean, it's a very difficult thing to do when that's pretty much part of your body nowadays.
Yeah.
But you're going to have to put it on silent, put it in the glove box, do one of the messages that if someone texts you, it tells them you're driving, you'll get back to them later. But that is probably one of the biggest reasons for distracted driving, your phone, and causing a crash or some other unfortunate event.
And I'll admit, you know, when I'm driving home, I my music service.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Elvis, E-L-V-I, trying to do this and watch the road. I've caught myself where I'm like, it's as bad as texting, Floyd.
Yeah.
Put it away.
Yeah.
Just let the music play,
mm-hmm.
you know, just lay it away. Don't get distracted, folks. There's people out there. And make sure that you're having these hard conversations with the kids.
Yes.
Sit them down.
Yes.
When my daughter got her driver's license, that was a big issue. I am sitting you down and we're talking about this because, and I took stories that you had told me yourself.
Good.
And told her, you have got to do this. We visited just a little while ago, and as she told me something every dad likes to hear. Your voice is the one in the back of my head every time I start thinking I'm going to mess up.
Yeah,
don't do it. Put it away. So have that voice in the back of your head. Get that voice in the back of your kid's head. Just let them know. Have those tough conversations and keep them safe. Captain LT, I want to thank you both for coming in here this morning and addressing these tough issues. We're going to get some stories up. I imagine we'll be talking about school buses the next time you come in.
Probably.
More than likely. All right. Thank you, gentlemen. Please be safe out there on the road. When we come back, we're going to speak with the Britain Museum. Public Pulse, 930 KROE, 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Saddle Ridge Rehabilitation Center at Westview is your only Medicare 5-star rated and state deficiency-free rehabilitation facility in Sheridan County. It's where quality matters every day. We're here for all of your inpatient and outpatient rehab needs. We treat you like family in a beautiful country setting. Call us at 307-673-3734. For more information and to schedule a tour.
This August, discover the magic of Peridot at Legacy Diamond and Gems. Born and fired, carried by volcanoes, Peridot is one of the few gems that glows naturally at night and the only gemstone to have been found in meteorites. Ancient sailors wore it for protection. Mystics believe it could chase away darkness. Celebrate your story with a gem that's traveled through time and space. Legacy Diamond and Gems, where every stone tells a story. 11 North Main in downtown Sheridan.
This is the Captain with Captain Clean.
Have your dryer vents been cleaned recently? As a leading cause of home fires, Captain Clean recommends dryer vent cleaning every 6 months. Our specialized equipment allows us to reach every inch of your dryer vent to ensure peace of mind. Call Captain Clean today at 672-0726 and sign up for our fire protection plan, where we pre-schedule the dryer vent cleanings for you so you never forget. Call Captain Clean. Affordable choices for healthy living.
Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors was born and built right here in Sheridan, Wyoming. And this time of year, the temperatures aren't the only thing rising. So are the out-of-town roofers. You know, the ones with wrapped trucks claiming they're local. They knock on your door, drop an area code, then give you 3 days to come up with your deductible. Brandon 307 has been on these rooftops for years, installing impact-resistant shingles, metal roofing, and keeping homes Wyoming tough. Go with the name you know. Call Brandon 307 Roofing and Exteriors for your inspection or visit Brandon307.com. Brandon 307, Branding Wyoming, one home at a time.
Doug, I'm looking for a very specific pre-owned vehicle, but I don't even know what it is yet.
That's okay, Bob. We're trained professionals here at Waring Chevrolet. We'll feel what you're looking for.
Like car whispers?
Exactly. We stand on a lot and bam, the right vehicle finds you.
Wow, that sounds like magic.
It's not magic. We have over 65 pre-owned vehicles staring at us on the lot. But if we don't have the specific one, we'll track it down.
Let the car whispers. I mean the professionals at Waring Chevrolet help you find your next ride. 107 East Alger online, WaringSheridan.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse. Proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. For our second part this morning, I am joined by the executive director of the Brenton Museum, Kendra Heimbach. Good morning. Welcome back.
Good morning, Floyd. Thanks for having me.
Oh, how's the summer been?
Summer's been good. It's been rocking and rolling. It's been busy, but fun. It's, yeah. You know, we see about 70% of our visitors between Labor Day, Memorial Day, and Labor Day. And so it's just every day. It's fun to see who's going to come in the door and really get to lay out the red carpet for all of our visitors.
Now, you're pretty busy up there. I mean, for those who haven't been at Brenton, it's a large facility.
It is.
And you've got a lot of moving parts up there. How often do you get to walk through and kind of mingle among the visitors and really see these folks just awestruck by the art?
Yeah, I try to a couple times a week at least. I wish I would say daily, but sometimes my schedule gets the best of me. But it's important for all of us working at the museum, to just take a moment and get to walk through the exhibit, see things through the eyes of our visitors, and then also our grounds. I think I'm more guilty. Like, my office is in the Forrest E. Mars Jr. building, and so it's a little bit easier if I'm popping down the hall to get a cup of coffee to you know, hop into a gallery and talk to some folks. But we've got the historic Quarter Circle A Ranch. Oh, yeah. And we've got the historic ranch house, the outbuildings. Yesterday, I went on a little wild goose chase trying to track down a visitor who said he was there, and I missed him. And so I hopped in the golf cart and I drove around and I didn't find him. But I thought, wow, I should do this more often because it's such a beautiful property and there's so many things to see. And we can get kind of stuck in our bubbles and our routines.
Yeah, and go in and just kind of 9 to 5 it and call it good. Yep. I'll do that sometimes driving over. I talk frequently about how I love the drive, but sometimes I just, you know, get your hand on that wheel and just go.
Yep.
And then you show up and you're like, I didn't even look at the mountains today. I can't believe I didn't do that. And so I have to try and constantly remind myself. So I think that's a fantastic idea. And having that golf cart out there, that's got to be pretty nice.
Yep,
too.
It is. It's just great.
So now, how did the Collective Arts Festival go this year?
It went wonderfully. So this was the second year of the Collective Arts Festival. We did it at Whitney Commons again. This took place last weekend on Saturday, and it was fantastic. A day full of the arts. We had young performers. We had seasoned performers, potters, poets, musicians, artisans. It was everything. It was great. And the weather was good, too. So, lovely.
Unfortunately, I was out of town, but I really looked forward to it. My former English teacher is now your poet laureate. She's fantastic. She's the first person who really looked at my writing in that collegiate level and was like, hey, I think you could do this.
Sure. Maybe.
I think this is something you can do. So it's good to hear. Did you get the turnout that you were really looking for? Did it seem like it was more than last year? Last year you were pretty spread out, though.
Yeah, last year we were spread out into the west side of Whitney Commons. This year we concentrated everything there around the splash pad, the gazebo, and so the energy was great. You know, it's hard to measure the numbers. Sheridan County Travel and Tourism is going to get us some data so we actually have hard concrete numbers. But kind of anecdotally, it feels like we had more turnout this year. You know, I told someone I'm estimating about 400 to 500 people came out over the course of the day. But, you know, we had artisan booths set up around the perimeter of Whitney Commons. And so visitors could walk around, see the artist booths. You could hear the music the whole time. We put the band shell over close to the library. Under the gazebo, we had a creation station, and that was just hopping all day long. And then we had a workshop tent, too, that was closer to the hub parking lot and had a full schedule of events. And people could kind of could dip into that space and dive a little deeper into a particular subject or get to know an artist if they, you know, weren't just kind of fleeting and moving through the space. So, I think a higher turnout, a higher energy level, and really a fun day celebrating the arts.
You know, things like this just remind me all the time. How many little ones do you think you inspired just in this one day, right? Where everyone goes out there, and yeah, they work really hard. And just how many artists did you create?
Sure.
In that amount of time. And I just think that's absolutely fantastic. Being able to go out there and watch somebody actually make a pot, it really kind of sticks with you. All right. So let's talk about the next big event that's coming up, the Big Horn Rendezvous. Can you tell me a little bit about this? And for listeners who haven't heard about this, what is it?
Yeah. So the Big Horn Rendezvous is in its 10th year at the Brinton Museum. And this is really one of my favorite events. It's a celebration of contemporary Western art. It's one of my favorite events because it brings together artists and our community in one space in a really a personal way. So the rendezvous, we kick it off with an exhibition, and we invite 15 artists to come and show their work in an exhibition that has been on view since July 26, still on view now. And then it culminates with a day of the arts, a rendezvous out on the grounds of the museum. And so all of the participating artists, they come out and they create art on the grounds in real time from start to finish over a 3-hour period.
Wow.
And then we've got a brunch, and we auction the work off that day. And so you can go home with a piece of art that you literally saw made in front of your eyes. It's pretty great.
That's incredible. Now, the 10th year of this, over the past 10 years, how has the Big Horn Rendezvous kind of grown or changed? And what lessons have you learned kind of seeing this happen?
Sure. And it has changed significantly. The Big Horn Rendezvous actually there was a group called the Northwest Rendezvous Group. And this was a group of artists that organized themselves. And they went out and they looked for venues that they could come bring their work to, pop up a temporary show, do the quick draw, and then they'd move on to the next venue. And it was quick, it was intense, and the show had a much shorter run. That Northwest Rendezvous group, it fizzled out sometime pre-pandemic. The pandemic didn't kill it, but and we decided, you know, we had hosted that Northwest Rendezvous group for a number of years, and we really enjoyed that event and the opportunity that it provided for the artists and the community to interact. And so we took it up on our own, and we coined the term the Big Horn Rendezvous. And we modeled it after that. So we invited a group of contemporary artists, but this gave us an opportunity to get to have some handpicked selections of who we wanted to invite to the event. And we've always maintained the quick draw element of it, because that's, I think, at the heart of what the Big Horn Rendezvous is.
Very unique experience to be able to see that.
Most definitely. And, you know, and there's quick draws everywhere. You can go to any kind of artist event and see a quick draw, but I think what we offer is our quick draws at the foot of the Bighorns, and it's on the historic ranch. And so I can't imagine a better place to go enjoy a quick draw.
Yeah.
We call it a quick draw. It's kind of a slow draw, honestly.
quickish.
Some quick draws are 60 minutes, 90 minutes. We give artists 3 hours and pretty loose rules too. We just say, come, you can have an underpainting, you can do some studies and get a feel for what you're going to do, but come with a pretty much a blank canvas and create a piece of original art in 3 hours. And so some of the artists they'll paint on plein air, and they'll set up and say, yep, that's what I want to paint today, that what I'm looking at. Others come with some studies they've done in the studio, and they're, you know, painting wildlife or from pictures or references. And so it's pretty loose, but I like that, because then you get to see a variety of different approaches to creating Western art.
So many different creative processes,
yeah.
Which, you know, longtime listeners will know that's what I'm fascinated with. How did we get here? You know, and to watch an artist really sit back, think, imagine, and then suddenly just create. Wow, there's something so inspiring about that.
Yeah.
And, you know, as you said before, there's so many different techniques and varieties, ways to get this done. I think everybody has an artist in them.
Sure.
I
agree.
You know, they just haven't gotten their technique down yet.
Yep.
You know, my brother-in-law likes to say, boy, he can draw a stick figure better than anybody. And so I think it's all in there. Now, how do you choose the 15 artists each year? Is there a vetting process? I mean, I imagine a lot of artists are really pining to get up there and do this.
Yeah, there's a variety of ways. We've got a committee, an exhibitions committee that meets every year in December. And so if artists are interested in participating in this group show, we ask that you go to our website, go to the artist resources and submit an application, which includes, you know, submit images of a body of your work so that we can take a look at it. And so that committee, they select a couple of new artists every single year. We like to keep the lineup fresh. We also, you know, we've got some longtime returners that come year after year. Joel Oslin has done the Rendezvous, single year, but he's back in it this year. John Potter is another artist who's been around for a while with us. And so we've got some fan favorites that come back year after year. And really, we look at it as a bit of a rotation. We don't want to get stuck into the same lineup every year. And there's always new contemporary artists coming onto the scene. So I try to get around the country and visit similar shows at other institutions like ours. And we discover new artists and we put out invitations to them and see if we can recruit them here. So Brandon Bailey is a good example. He's a member of the Cowboy Artists of America, and he's participating in the Bighorn Rendezvous this year. And we're really excited to have him here.
I don't want to get off in the weeds too much, but Oslin's work, you know, when I saw it, he can do more with a line. Holy cow.
Oh, sure.
It's amazing to look at that. And I love almost simplicity that you think, oh, I can do that. And then you sit down and you're like, I cannot do that. How does he do that?
Yeah.
His work is so beautiful in the way he can, you know, he uses composition. It really surprises you.
Yep.
His use of something as simple as a line.
It
blows me away.
He's a great draftsman.
So, folks, you get an opportunity to get out there, kind of crowd around Joel, give him a little pressure. I'd love to see that. I'm sure he'd love it as well. Now, meeting the artist face-to-face, being able to actually walk up and maybe start a conversation with Joel. Is that possible? Can I do that during the rendezvous?
Most definitely. And this is a time we encourage everyone, go talk to the artist. The reason why it's a 3-hour quick draw is so that there's time built in that they can, you know, they can step away and take a break from their painting and talk to you about what they're doing and why they're making these decisions with color or composition. And so it might feel intimidating if you've never, you know, you're like, wow, what do I ask this artist? And just go up and ask him, hey, how'd you choose your subject? Why'd you pick that? What kind of colors do you like to go? What are your go-to colors in your palette? There's no stupid question. You can ask them anything. And they like to engage with people and talk about their process.
And some of these artists, you know, like you were saying, there's no stupid question because the colors are intentionally chosen. There's a reason behind everything. And I think maybe that's one of the fascinating aspects to the entire thing and why I like talking to them. Finding out why that green.
Yep.
You know, oh, it's going to dry differently than you think. And all of a sudden you see it and it's absolutely beautiful. There is a VIP artist reception, though. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes. So this year, the evening before the quick draw on Friday, August 22nd, we are holding a VIP artist reception at the Brinton Museum. It'll take place in the Yakamine Mars Gallery there on the third floor of the museum. And this is a chance to get to talk to the artists in more of a social setting. They're not busy creating work. And so this is a chance for collectors and, you know, anybody who just wants to meet these artists to come out, enjoy a beverage, enjoy some light bites by the bistro and mingle with the artist and fellow art supporters within the community.
And now when you talk to the artist, you know, you kind of get the meaning, maybe the process behind the work that they're really dedicating that 3 hours to. And then you have this fantastic story.
Yeah.
that's attached to this piece that you can buy right then and there.
Exactly.
I mean, I think that's amazing.
Yeah.
Now it becomes something very personal.
Most definitely. Oh, yeah. I talking to collectors, and I think this is something that is particularly within the Western art genre, that there's so many contemporary Western artists out there working, and there's this chance to get to know the artist and have a relationship with them. Mm. I think that's what our collectors like the most about this event, is they get to have that personal relationship and that personal connection with the artist.
Yeah. And one of the fascinating things about it, you know, big city artists, God bless them, they do what they do, usually in a studio surrounded by beautiful art and paint. They're up there creating. And some of the Western artists, you may have herded cattle with this guy.
Yep.
Or helped her build a fence or something like that.
Exactly.
I think that is something quite fascinating, very specific to Western art.
Yep, I would agree.
And it really personalizes all of it. The quick draw coming up, folks. Now, one more time, tell me when and where I've got to be there.
So the quick draw is on Saturday, August 23rd. It starts at 9 a.m. and will run until noon. And then immediately following, there's a brunch and an art auction. That is a ticketed event. And so you can go to thebrintonmuseum.org and get your tickets today.
Now, when we go up to the Brinton, we look at all these fantastic pieces. You get to look at these things all the time. Kendra, you've kind of dedicated your life to really preserving and promoting these types of things. Why is art important to us as a species?
You know, that's a great question, Floyd. And I feel like art is, it's an expression, right? And it's an opportunity for artists to put their viewpoint out into the world. But it's a conversation and it's a dialogue, because when I come look at this art that someone else has created, I get the opportunity to look at the world through someone else's eyes and someone else's lens and perspective and go, huh, I never saw that way. And it creates a thought process. It creates a dialogue and an opportunity for you and I to connect, you know, as viewer and artist, but also, Floyd, you and I could go look at a piece of art and see something differently. And, you know, so I think it's just this great opportunity to get outside of ourselves and see the world through a different set of eyes.
Now let's narrow that question down a little bit and say, why is Western art so important to us?
Yeah. Well, I think Western art, you know, there's this mystique about the West, and there's this grand, kind of this romantic view of the West. And again, though, the West is this, it's a big idea. It's a big concept of what is the West, and, you know, these open spaces, this kind of this individualism to an extent, but also this design of community that requires all of us participating in it. And again, I think the West is, it's kind of this, it's a journey, it's a destination, and it's this kind of chasing after this idea and this concept.
Oh, yeah.
And again, everyone, I participate in this Museums West Consortium. It's a group of leaders of museums from all over the U.S. that have a focus on the West. And we talk about that. Well, how do you define the West? What is Western art? Is it art depicting the Western hemisphere? Is it art made by people living in the West? And it's rich dialogue. And I don't think there's one definition of what is the West, but I think it's a feeling, it's a concept that we, and especially us living in Wyoming, we can connect with and really, and we see that in Western art, and it's an opportunity to see ourselves and see those who have come before us, and that kind of that rich tapestry that makes up the West.
I was at an exhibit. Well, I visit museums quite a bit, and I'd say I'd probably seen 20 to 25 buffalo paintings.
Yeah.
And someone out there might say, well, you see one, you see them all. But I'm here to tell you, holy cow, take one animal and show me 20 different paintings, and I'll show you 20 different animals.
Sure.
20 yep. different interpretations, 10,000 different colors.
Yep.
I really kind of use that as an example where we all see the West differently.
Yep.
Even when we're looking at the same thing, it all is on perspective and perception. And I think that's what art really is.
Mm-hmm.
Our perspective, our perception, and we can all look at the same thing and see 10,000 different things in it.
Definitely.
Now, one more time, before I lose my time with you, let's go over our Bighorn Rendezvous one more time. Where and when do I have to be there?
All right. Well, August 22nd, we'll kick off with a VIP artist reception. Saturday, August 23rd, we'll have the quick draw from 9 to noon. That's free, open to the public. Come on out, wander the grounds, take it in, and then purchase your ticket so you can hang around to have a buffet brunch offered by the Brinton Bistro. A rare opportunity to have a buffet brunch from the bistro.
Fantastic place to eat, by the way.
And then hang out and enjoy the art auction. It'll start around 1 p.m. All that will take place up in the event tent outside of the bistro on the upper level. You can get your tickets at thebrintonmuseum.org. Don't wait. We will probably sell out. And the VIP ticket will get you into the Friday night reception. The general admission gets you into everything on Saturday.
And just imagine going in there, folks, and actually having these conversations with these fantastic artists. If it's something that you haven't done before, I highly suggest doing it. You might actually end up kind of walking out of there with a third eye, you know, where all of a sudden everything that you thought you knew was totally different. I've got some time left. Do you happen to have the list of the artists that you're going to be featuring this year?
I do.
Oh,
yeah.
Please. All right.
Yeah.
Let's hear who that
Let
is.
Let me read that off for you. We've got Brandon Bailey, Roger Rohr, Jake Gatke, Daniel Glanz, David Mayer, David Mensing, Blake Newbert, Anton Knowles, Julie Oriott, Joel Oslin, John Potter, Phil Stark, John Taft, and Michael Umiantite.
And you said these folks come from all over the place.
All over the place. You know, I'm looking at this list, and so new to this year's rendezvous are Brandon Bailey and Blake Newbert and perhaps David Mayer. I don't think he's ever been back. And then we've also got Michael Umiantite, who is new to, he's not new to the show, but this is the first year he's going to be doing the quick draw. And talk about color. Michael uses a really great color palette. It's cool, and it's a different view than what you might be accustomed to seeing around here with what we've shown. You know, mm-hmm. he likes to do a lot of nocturne scenes, but other also just these really cool colors that come through. And so you look at his work, and it really brings out another feeling when you're viewing his work.
And I think that's kind of exactly what we were talking about before. I've walked up to a painting more than once in my life, looked at it, and just felt a pressure in my chest.
Sure.
And sometimes that can be overwhelming joy. Sometimes that can be disgust.
Yeah.
Which was the intention.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, it's meant to invoke something within you. There's a lot of artists out there, Kendra. The Brinton is very exclusive. It's one of the finest museums in the state, probably the region.
Yep.
I would say the region for sure. How does somebody get to the level where something they have is hanging on your wall?
Yeah, it's a lot of time, a lot of practice, and just continuing to go at it. You know, a lot of our artists that show with us, they apply time and time again. The rendezvous, though, it's kind of something to put your sights on that you want to aspire to. And so sometimes people get their starts through a group show in our Northern Trust Gallery. That's our kind of first floor gallery, and we often devote time and space in that space for emerging artists who want to get their foot in the door with the museum. But I would just encourage artists to just continue to put yourself out there and put the hours in at the easel and the studio and continue to refine your craft, and you'll have an opportunity, I'm sure.
What's your favorite art?
My favorite, I like more contemporary Western art. So,
really?
Yeah. And an artist who stands out for me that I really enjoy right now is, his name is Sean Michael Chavez, and he's a Southwestern artist. He paints a lot of vaqueros, and portrait work. But he's got this style where it's got this old feel to it, so that you can see a lot of his underpainting. It almost looks like his overpainting is kind of chipping away.
Oh, wow.
And he's doing some really good work these days too. So check him out. I want to get Sean Michael Chavez to the Brinton Museum.
I think that'd be fascinating.
Yes.
You know, to learn that process about how he ages.
Yeah.
His paint. Now, if you were to actually say you feature somebody maybe a little bit more than others up at the Brinton, who would that be?
Well, Well, you know, that's a good question, Floyd. I look to our permanent collection is honestly where we have more of like prominence with where you can, we have artists who are featured more than others. Because as we look at our temporary exhibitions and how we pull together that schedule, you know, each season varies. And so we pay a lot of attention when we're pulling together our exhibition schedule and want to present a diverse kind of perspective and offering of artists. And so rather than coming back to the same old, but the same artist time and time again, we want to provide our visitors an opportunity to see things, to see different things. But I would come back to Joel Oslin, though. Yeah. I mean, he's in all of our small work shows. He's a very frequent invite for the Bighorn Rendezvous, and he's just a community favorite. We love Joel. He's a great guy.
Yeah. I mean, easy to talk to. Yep. You know, like you said, there's some intimidation because, holy cow, this is a very well-known, prominent artist. Yeah. What the heck am I going to be able to talk to him about? And then he's the one who's talking to you.
Yeah.
You know, and he just puts you at ease. So folks, get up there. Watch this quick draw. This is a fantastic event. Take the kids. Broaden horizons. That's what the Britain Museum is there for. It's going to show you the same thing in 10,000 different ways. It's absolutely beautiful. Kendra, thank you for coming in this morning.
Thanks, Floyd. Appreciate it.
All right. You've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to Volunteers of America.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit eFirstFederal.bank, member FDIC.
You're running a business out of your garage. And your office? That's the back seat of your truck. It's time to upgrade. A Shopaminium is your own commercial condo, heated, insulated, powered up, and ready to work. Perfect for welders, woodworkers, side hustlers, and folks who need more than a corner of the laundry room. Shopaminiums gives you a pro space without the landlord drama. Call Donna Garland at Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Shopaminiums today.
Hi, I'm Taylor, front of house manager at Fraggleton's. You know, every day on Main Street brings new faces and familiar friends through our doors, and each one deserves something special. At Fraggleton's, it's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Our team is here to make sure every bite, every sip, and every moment feels just right. Whether you're celebrating a big day or just enjoying the little things, we'd love to be a part of it. It's not just about the food, it's about the feeling. Book your table now at Fraggleton's.com.
Summer isn't over yet. Join your friends for an afternoon of art, community, and the creative spirit at the U-Cross Arts Festival, Sunday, August 17th, featuring famed guitarist Hayden Pettigo and local favorites The Instigators. The U-Cross Arts Festival begins at 4 and includes performances, poetry, and printmaking, as well as pizza from the U-Cross Cafe food truck. Registration is required, so get your free tickets to the U-Cross Arts Festival today at ucross.org.
So I told my wife I'd made a doctor's appointment. She said, which doctor? I said, no, medical. I believe in science, not superstition. Well, the same goes for you fixing or tuning up your own 4x4, side-by-side, or lawnmower. Because it don't need voodoo, it needs a professional. At Hando's, they don't burn sage, they burn midnight oil. So remember, it ain't a spiritual journey, it's a tune-up. And you need to get that machine to Hando's Service Center on Sheridan's Heartland Drive.
Long days at the dog park, walks in the mountains, sunny naps in the backyard. It's the dog days of summer, and your best friend is soaking it all in. Enter a photo of your dog living their best summer life on our Dog Days of Summer photo contest, online now at SheridanMedia.com. Presented by All Around Canine, Country Pet Inn, and Mandy Koltiska with Century 21 BHJ Realty. The winner by most votes will get $500 in chamber bucks and a gift certificate to Country Pet Inn. Enter on the contest page at SheridanMedia.com.